Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa maulana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من أيام أحب إلى الله من عمل الصالح من هذه الأيام العشر أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Most respected elders and brothers, today is a moon sighting night. It's the 29th of Zilqa'dah. And if the moon is sighted, then tomorrow will be the first of Zilhijjah. And if it is not sighted, then the first of Zilhijjah will definitely be, because it will be the 30 days of the month, it will be on Sunday. So this is the first thing that we must know and understand, that every month there's a Hilal committee of the Jamiatul Ulama that goes to the 45th cutting every month diligently. On the 29th of every month they go there and they observe to see whether they see the moon. If it is seen, then it is the next day is the first. If it is not seen, then it becomes 30th the next day, and then the following day is the first. But this is how the Islamic lunar calendar is judged. It's judged by the viewing and sighting of the moon. So like how we have it here in KZN or in Durban, in the various areas and regions we have in Johannesburg and in Cape Town and various other places as well, people get together and they look for the moon. Normally we become very excited when it is just before the month of Ramadan, and now Ramadan is going to start, and now everybody gets very excited and they want to know whether the moon was sighted or it wasn't sighted, because tomorrow or tonight we got to read Tarawih if the moon was sighted. So people have become very restless, and they call the office. We open our offices especially at the significant times of the year. Now tonight will be open again, and we open when it's last day of Shaaban, so that people phone and they want to inquire whether it is Ramadan or it's not Ramadan. So we must know what is the Islamic manner in which a month is established. So it is established by the viewing of the moon, the sighting of the moon, and the Shariat is so brilliantly prepared and organized. The Fuqaha have organized in such a manner that, you know, there leaves no room for any doubt. So just if one particular person says, I saw the moon, then his testimony is not just taken like that. Yeah? And there's a special form that has to be filled in to see what is the orientation of the moon. He must draw it. What did you see? How high it was? How low it was in the sky? What shape it was? Because now we are living in a time of deception. Sometimes you get some people, they just see another planet, like they see Mars or they see some other streak, and they regarded that to be the moon, whereas the orientation was incorrect. How high it was in the sky, on the horizon, you know, they don't correctly depict and show that. So we have found many people sometime, then they realize at a later stage that no, you know, sometime it's not visible to be seen with the naked eye, because it's the birth of the moon may have taken place, you know, a short number of hours. So I don't want to go into a lot of those details, but alhamdulillah, this sunnah of looking and sighting the moon for the beginning of the month is established also, alhamdulillah, in our city. Now, my dear brothers, these first 10 days of Zilhijjah are very, very significant. Allah Ta'ala has taken a qasam in the Quran Pak of various things. But one of the surahs that we are well known in, Suratul Fajr, in the Amma Para, in the last para of the Quran, Wal Fajr, where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is taking a qasam on the time of Fajr, Wal Fajr. And then the second words are Walayalin Ashar, and the 10 nights. Ashara is 10, And walayalin ashar is the 10 nights. And the commentators of the Quran Pak, they explain in the commentary that here the reference is to the significance of the first 10 nights of Zilhijjah. Allahu Akbar, my dear brothers. We are so fortunate that Allah Ta'ala has given us and afforded us the opportunity to be, inshallah, to be able to experience that. And it is a very great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me tell you some of the significance, my dear brothers. So our first thing is that Allah Ta'ala has taken an oath on these first 10 nights in the Quran Pak. That in itself is showing sufficient significance of these particular nights and how valuable these nights are. So we know that in a calendar we have some special nights, we have the month of Ramadan, the special month, like that we have some special days, like for example, the night of Eid al-Fitr is a very special night for the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we know there are, you know, the other significant day is, which is part and parcel of these first 10 days of Zilhijjah, which is the 9th day of Zilhijjah, which is called Yawm Arafah. So in this first 10 days, firstly, all these 10 days are significant. And even more significant, these 10 days become more significant because in this 10 days is the Yawm Arafah, is the 9th of Zilhijjah. And then also is the night of Eid, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given, glad tidings for the person who spends the 2 nights of Eid in the ibadat and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then is the 10th of Zilhijjah, and the 10th of Zilhijjah is called it's the day of Eid. Yeah, we call Yawmul Eid, Eidul Adha, where you do the sacrifice. That particular day, my dear brothers, it is amongst the days that it is haram to fast. Huh? Look at our deen. To fast is such a great ibadah. 1 day before, in fact 9 days before, the significance of fasting is expressed so much in the ahadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beloved wife, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anha, she narrates the hadith wherein she says that it was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to fast the first 9 days of Zilhijjah. A very important and significant point, my dear brothers, that we learned of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his practices and his doings from his beloved wives. So important it is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I mentioned this before as well, that he told his wives that my private life, you must express it to the people. Mention it. So they used to mention that I saw the Nabi of Allah waking up in the night and opening the door, ruwaydan softly, getting up very softly, making wuzu in a soft manner, and then standing up and prostrating in before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these first 9 or 10 nights of Zilhijjah are very, very significant. Firstly for fasting. So we need to make this intention that inshallah Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. If we got the ability, we have the health and you are able to keep the fast, we must try to make sure that we do not allow this opportunity to be wasted. My dear brothers, it is so significant, 1 day fasting in this Zilhijjah, first nine days of Zilhijjah, the ahadith says that 1 day fasting is equivalent to 1 year's fasting. Allahu Akbar. If we tell you, if you work 1 day, you get the whole year's wages. How we feel? We are insan, we'll be very, very happy. We'll never allow that opportunity to be wasted. Here, the Nabi of Allah is telling us, giving us a glad tidings, and saying that the 1 day fasting, 1 day, is equivalent to 1 year's fasting. And look at the significance of the ibadat of the night. The ibadat of the night is very meritorious in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith mention is made that every night, kulla laylatin, every night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on the lower asman, on the lower heavens. And he calls out and he says, hal min sa'inin fa'a'tiya su'lahu. Is there anybody asking from me that I may fulfill his need? Hal min mustaghfirin fa'aghfira lahu. Is there anybody who is seeking forgiveness that I may, you know, forgive him? Is there anybody who has any need that I may fulfill his need? Anal Malik, I am the Malik, I am the King of all kings. Is there any, Allah Ta'ala is calling out and saying, is there anyone looking for, anybody looking for risk? We are looking for risk and sustenance. Allah Ta'ala is willing to grant us that, but the little bit of extra sacrifice is required. So in this nights of, especially now that it is winter, you get tired of sleeping also. People sleep 10 o'clock, half past 10, they sleep away. By 4, half past 4, 5 o'clock too, if you wake up, you can still read some tahajjud, my dear brothers. Don't let this opportunity go by. That little bit extra sacrifice, we know what it is to make sacrifice. When it is a season, then we stay awake till late. We wake up early because it's a season to go to work, because now it's a season time. We have to try to make an effort, because whatever we will gather and accumulate, it will help us for the rest of the year when it is quiet. So we understand it in so far as a business perspective is concerned. We need to now understand it in so far as our dini consciousness is concerned. So we need to make that little extra effort. Set the alarm clock. Set two alarm clocks if it has to. My dear brothers, we got an important flight or you got an important meeting. You'll set one clock and then you'll set another clock as well. Because definitely I don't want to miss that interview. Or I don't want to be late. I don't want to miss the opportunity. I got an important meeting with the president. So I have to make sure that I'm on time. So similarly, my dear brothers, regard it as an important time of meeting and dedicating that time for ibadat for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For no other pleasure, for nobody, and nobody's going to see you. In the dead of the night, you are reading salah. You can't be reading for anybody else, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no, there's no question on your ikhlas. So therefore, my dear brothers, make this effort and try our level best. And it comes, there are some narrations wherein the significance is mentioned of the wife who awakes the husband for in the night to make ibadat. And that husband who awakes his wife to make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that particular. So now the nights are long. Fajr time is very late. After 5:30, 5:20, 5:21, 5 is the Fajr time is only starting at that time. So even if you have to wake up at 4:45, you can still spend half an hour in making salah, reading, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and spending some time in the remembrance of Allah. Now look at the significance. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us? My dear brothers, it is so significant that the ibadat of the night is equal to the ibadat of the night of Laylatul Qadr. Allahu Akbar. Laylatul Qadr, we don't know. It comes in a hadith, seek it in a odd night. 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 20th. You don't know which night for certain. But in these ahadiths, the manner in which those words are mentioned, you are definitely getting the reward of Laylatul Qadr. Brothers, understand what I'm saying to you. That every night you are making ibadat of Allah in these nights, you are getting the reward of the night of Laylatul Qadr. And what is the night of Laylatul Qadr? What is the significance? We all know, 84 years of ibadat. Allahu Akbar. How can we let the opportunity go, my dear brothers? Allah Ta'ala is seeking and giving us those opportunities whereby we can gain the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are some amals, we must not allow that to be wasted. I told you the first thing is the fasting. Make niyat, inshallah we will try our level best. Unless we got some mazuri, some uzur, some sickness and we can't manage. But people tell me that when they are sick and they fast, they feel better. Some people, they phone our office in Ramadan, they say, Ramadan time, I don't have to take any medication. Everything is right. I'm fasting, everything is right. The doctor told I mustn't fast, and I still fast quietly, and alhamdulillah, everything is fine. So, let us take that opportunity. The second thing, my dear brothers, is spend some time in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially at night. Right? Thirdly, is engage in dua. Seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is there who can fulfill our needs? Who is there who can, you know, give us anything that a person needs? My dear brothers, it is only Malikul Mulk, the King of all kings. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us see how we can beseech for all our needs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, my dear brothers, in these days, try to do some sadaqah also. Do some sadaqah. Whatever type of sadaqah Allah ta'ala gives us tawfiq, look for that opportunity near us. There's been a tornado to such a catastrophe that people are going through a very tough and trying time. So what role can we play, in what way? Brothers, it's very easy for a person to just give, but to be physically involved in that particular opportunity of being able to be of relief of somebody, the maza and the taste of that is differently. Now, the Sahaba asked, you know, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the significance of this first 10 days of Zilhijjah, that the ibadat of this 10 days, any ibadat, is not specific which ibadat. Not only fasting or tilawat. It mentions any ibadat is so loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is no other days in the year that amals are not loved by Allah like how it is loved in the first 10 days of Zilhijjah. So the Sahaba asked, now they asked, oh Nabi of Allah, even jihad fi sabilillah, you know, jihad, going out in the path of Allah, giving your life in the path of Allah. The Nabi of Allah responded and he said, even jihad fi sabilillah, except for that person who gives his life and his wealth. So there's a point here that a person has to give his life, sacrifice his life and sacrifice his wealth for deen, for the protection of deen. Except that person who gives his life and he gives his entire wealth and he goes out in the path of Allah and he never returns. So the amals are so loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us take special significance and special attention to this. Also, my dear brothers, keep in mind our joining of family ties. No use making the best ibadat and spending all our time in ibadat of Allah and doing all the good amals, but I'm not speaking to my mother, I'm not speaking to my father. Yesterday one brother told me, no, I'm upset with my mother. I had to tell him, but by the first 10 days of Zilhijjah is coming, be very cautious. Two people, my dear brothers, they don't have any ulterior motive in giving us guidance and telling us something, and we must not take any offense to it. One, my dear brothers, is the parent. So a young boy, you know, he gets offended, my father is telling me do this, or my mother is telling me to do this, or to do that. But wallahi, they do not have any ulterior motive. They want goodness for us. So that is why the mother will exhort the son, or, you know, get up, or go for salah, or read your Quran, or do this, or do that. So the youngster gets irritated with that. But in reality, we're not supposed to be getting irritated. So that's one, is our parent. The second person is that ustad. That ustad who has taught us deen, he doesn't desire to, you know, have any ulterior motive in giving us any guidance and giving us any. So these are two people who their motive is that this person or this student of mine, he must become better than me also. So when they introduce, they say, ye to mera shagird hai. You get one Maulana, maybe he's giving a very good bayan or he's translating in the istima or something. Then you meet the ustad and say, ye to mera shagird hai, he's my student. And he would say it with so much of humbleness. So the ustad always desires that the student must go far ahead. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Let us value this, my dear brother. I quickly want to touch upon one very important point as well. Recently we are noticing that, you know, there is an information, influx of information, like an explosion of information. So anybody, even a young child, can take the phone, Google, you know, three talaqs, or this particular speaker, this particular topic, I want to listen to something, and now we start listening to whatever may be coming up. So we have to be very cautious in so far as our deeni matters are concerned. My brothers, deen, you can't just take from anybody. How we have to understand this, maybe you have to understand it in a different manner. Let's say somebody got a heart problem. Now, population, now I'm saying you get information influx, and it's available at any time at the fingers of anybody. So you went by your friend and he Googled something, how to treat block artery, for example. Now a whole page came up there, all the information came up, and he says, hey, I'm reading here, you must take this, you must take this, you must take this tablet. My brothers, nobody will take it. You say, no, no, I can't take it. Why? Because you are not trained. You say, but I'm reading it for you from the page, you know, from the website. I'm reading it from a very authentic doctor, or I'm reading it from somebody who is a very authentic Hakim, for example, or I've been through this, I've been to the best specialist. Now take the same tablets. You say, bye, I'll never take it. No matter how much you convince me, I can't. Why? Because you are not trained in this field. I have to go to a specialist and let me hear it from him, how I must take this medication. So we understand it insofar as our physical health is concerned. But insofar as our deity consciousness and knowledge and information and mashura and rise are concerned, we seem to be lacking in that. So people are relying. We get one lady came to us. I told this before here also, that her husband gave her 3 talaqs. Now she googled everything and all. Now she came in front of the mufti and she said, now what is the masla about the 3 talaqs? My husband gave me 3 talaqs. Now she's giving the answer also. She said, I googled it and I saw that if you give 3 talaqs in one sitting, then it is regarded as 1 talaq. So she was a questioner also and she's giving the answer also. So we have to be very cautious. You know, one Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, he mentioned and says that inna hazal ilma deenun, this knowledge of deen, it is part of our deen. So fanzuru amman ta'khuzuna deenakum, be very cautious who you take your deen from. So you can't just take it from anybody. Unfortunately, we are so gullible people. So somebody comes, he gives a very good bayan, or he got a nice American accent of speaking, you know, you got some. Now our people, they like to hear this American type of speaking, different ways of speaking, you know, with accents, etc. We get influenced by that. My dear brothers, let's be cautious. Take deen from a person who is speaking something and is practicing it also. That's one of the tests. There are different tests. That's another bayan. Now how do you know? Because there's so much of information. So stick to the people who are practicing on the fundamentals of deen. Be very cautious. Stick to the ulama who are, what I can say, people are terming them to be orthodox or to be fundamentalist, like, you know, old people. Like, they're not with the modern times. But in reality, my dear brothers, we have to stick to deen in its asal sense. If we are diverting and going this way and that way, the fear is that we may be going on the wrong one. Allah Pak safeguard and protect us. Wa akhiru da'wana.